this is Rue Davis. Dabo got us all the way down here in Louisiana. We got a coin this time. All right. Come on, baby. Come on, please. Come on, baby. Zydeco with me. I feel all right.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Welcome to Waco 4 State Trail Ride Radio. I just want to get in. We're going to get directly into the show. We're going to be on time tonight. Yeah. Some will, some won't. What's next? So I just want to say that that's Mike Moore saying. So I'm gonna kind of get in there and support what he got going on. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us at Waco 4 State Trail Ride Radio or Waco 4 State Trail Ride. If you want to put up a flyer, you can go to Waco4StateTrailRide.com, or if you want to go to the Facebook page, it's Waco 4 State Trail Ride. And I want to tell you, we're getting directly into the show tonight. So before I go any further, before I take another breath, let me say thank God for sharing this grace on this radio. And how you doing, Mr. Glass?
I'm doing fine. I'd like to co-sign the same thing, Ron. Thank God we sent another day.
Yeah, they say you say it three times, people listen and they understand. So
yes,
I guess that's one of
the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir. So anyway, I'm on your time, so I'm gonna sit back and relax and let you know when you get a caller on, and I'm gonna do my thing on the back end.
Okay. I want to say thank you, Ron, for giving us the opportunity to sit back and talk about some of the issues that we are encountering on a daily basis on the trail ride scene or as life in general. Of course, you know we had the program that we set up yesterday with the little two-year-old child down in South Louisiana. My co-partner, Robert Bruno of No Tie Down Riders, Jenna Rett Riders, Chris Enclade, Nathan, and a couple other people, Renwick Bogan from Showtime Riders. Those guys got together and held an epic event. This little two-year-old child has been flooded over Facebook all day today with pictures, videos, just an epic moment. People flowing with tears of joy because it was something that the guys, pretty much just, went all out to try to make this an event, something that was presentable to the public as well as this little two-year-old child. To my understanding, according to the video, the little child had one of the most greatest times that he could ever have. And we're just elated to be a part of that. Now, we have set up tonight, hopefully, some of the Team Saddlebred members are going to call and tell, their personal experience about the event. We're going to have Marilyn, who is the actual individual recipient with regards to the grandchild, of the event. She was a little reluctant, kind of shy, but, I explained to her that there's no reason to be shy. She can call in and just give us some kind of feedback. I'll kind of walk her through with, a couple of questions as to how she got involved, how easy it was to get access, to the guys and things of that nature. So pretty much we just want to, express our, compassion for what we do, let other people know if they have events, we don't have a problem with joining in, creating hands, to do the same thing and so forth and so on. So we're just going to sit back and wait, till the callers come. I'm receiving Facebook messages, text messages as we go through this. This is the first night up for, us guys, so we're going to have number one, two, three, and then we're going to have a cleanup batter, hopefully. And hopefully the show will be enjoyable. We looking for, positive criticism, something that can make it go a little bit better the next go around. But all in all, we're going to do our best and, sit back and enjoy the ride.
Well, I tell you, you got some callers out there right now, so you might as well bring them in.
Okay. First caller. Identify
George.
Your name.
George,
who?
Bradley, you know me.
Okay, George Bradley. This is my first cousin from California, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, Merry Christmas to your cuz.
Same here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, the event or what happened in the situation that you're talking about?
Well, we had an individual Facebook friend of mine who sent me a message indicating that she had a two-year-old autistic grandchild who every time the kid seen a horse, it just would light up, you know, with a big smile. And she asked me if it was any kind of way that, you know, I could, you know, make something happen where her grandchild could see a horse. And immediately my brain started popping. And I told her I had some friends down in South Louisiana who would be more than willing to, you know, co-join me and get this thing going. So what we did yesterday, we held an event at a friend of mine's stable, you know, for this little two-year-old child to come out, touch, ride, and experience his first chance at ever dealing with a horse live and in color. So that took place yesterday down in South Louisiana, I believe, Bro Bridge. So that was the event that I'm referring to.
Right on, man. I really that's awesome. I really think that's a wonderful thing you guys doing.
Right. Also,
I just wanted to say hello and give you some congrats on that, and keep it up, man. You guys doing a wonderful job.
But
I'll talk to you soon, okay? Tell your mom and everyone I say hello and Merry Christmas.
Okay, before you sign off, let me give you another piece of information. This same family, the latest daughter, has a rare kidney disease like, I believe, Orlando Mourning. And we're going to be giving a hosting a fundraiser down in South Louisiana next month. And all the money that's raised, we're going to donate it toward, you know, the kidney fund. We also have a PayPal account set up as well. So any and all donation will go directly, you know, to the individual family. We have it set up. I believe at some point we're going to post it on the, you know, on the radio, you know, program itself. But at the same time, we are, you know, up and running. And what we're trying to do is let people know that these guys are out there not just riding horses, not just talking the talk, but they're walking the walk as well. Some of these guys are college educated. Some of these guys have some of the best jobs that a man can have. As a matter of fact, we're going to bring on one individual who drove 7 hours yesterday to come and make this part of his event, and he's going to be able to talk about it personally. I don't want to spoil, you know, his lot, but he's going to come up as well. But that's some of the things that we got going on, and we have looking into a major either tri or four state event, a quad state event with Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma. You know, we're trying to work on that. So we have several things that we're working on right now. And I believe as long as we continue to keep God in the midst of things, we're going to go and reach our destiny.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. I'll keep in contact with you, and I'll be up on this, okay?
Okay, cuz. Appreciate you calling. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Tell everyone I say hello and love them and see them soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Ron, my first cousin from California who had just logged on Facebook, and I told him about you know what was going on, and he wanted to call in and give a little support.
That's good. You got some more out there too.
Okay.
And our buddy out there on the line too.
The next caller.
Well, y'all can you can say something.
Okay. Next caller, identify yourself. Caller, are you on?
Well, I guess they're being quiet tonight.
I'm here, Barry, but I talk all the time, so I'm letting you.
Okay, it's Mike, Mike D. Okay.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. How was your day?
Man, it was definitely a Monday, but blessed to see another Monday.
Okay. Everything
Amen.
Went well?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I heard you caught in on the tail end when you were saying we got different people doing different types of jobs. I found myself on the side of the building this afternoon after lunch, and I'll be on top of one in the morning at 7:30 in the cold, so just some different things.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well,
got to make that money.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we are trying to do, you know, do this thing. Mike, of course, you know, you and I collaborated, I believe, a week or so ago and I believe we've kept in contact, and that's what it's all about, not just having that initial conversation and then letting everything slide. We want to keep it going as often as necessary. We know that everybody's got a family, and we don't want to intrude on that time, but we also at least want to fellowship hopefully once or twice a week, the beginning and the latter part of the week, or, you know, on an as-needed basis, because, you know, it's very important that, you know, we don't let stuff go too long without, you know, addressing issues. I believe Russell had posted something today regarding, you know, I don't know if it was a shooting of some kind or something like that, but we need to make sure that we can make a positive impact, not just on the horse, but off the horse as well.
Well, most definitely. You know, I don't know if I told you, I coach youth league football, and, you know, I found out that it's a lot of work. But in all that work that we're doing, we're actually taking some kids that could be otherwise doing some other things or getting into other things, and they're becoming, you know, young men. But at the same time, they're getting responsibility of being, you know, responsible young men, because we, what, you know, what, and I know, you know, what football teaches. So, you know, I'm not necessarily sitting on a horse all the time either, like you say. Matter of fact, I hadn't ridden a horse probably now in about 3 or 4 months, just because I've been so busy with my kids' football teams and coaching their teammates and trying to make sure, you know, we do things or that I do things and keep them going.
Right.
And again, it's just one of those deals, you know, out of mind is a devil's workshop. So if we always, you know, we keep them busy on that football field, they don't have time for something else.
Right. Mike, let me ask you this. In your area, do you get pretty good parent participation, or is it like it is here where, you know, the child wants to be a little proactive, but, you know, sometimes we can't get, you know, the parent involved, so we lack in the, you know, kids' extracurricular activities and things like that. Do you guys experience that in your area or not?
Well, you know, sometimes we do get some pretty good parent participation. I will say this year was I got a lot of parent participation because we had a lot of younger boys playing for us this year and some first-timers. One that comes out to mind, we call him Big Chase. His mom was actually pregnant with his sibling and was supposed to have been bedridden. And she actually, you know, I had to tell her, what are you doing out here? You know, you're not supposed to be here. Well, you know, I'm coming to support my child. And you can't knock her for that, you know. And Big Chase is one of those kids that, you know, he didn't know what he was doing, but he didn't mind trying.
Uh-huh.
And grandmother was there, you know, he had grandmother there. The one thing I wish we could see more of, which I saw more this year than I had in some of the years past, was more dads coming out and participating in, you know, trying to encourage their boys. And, man, I was really proud to say, you know, I got a lot of dads that come out and support our kids and our team, you know, that play. There's a lot of dads on this out here. And then just good guys in general who don't have a kid, not one kid on the team.
Right.
They're taking that role.
Hey, Mike, are you guys successful in maybe getting, you know, fraternities and sororities to, you know, volunteer, you know, some time or, you know, give back, you know, by way of community service or, you know, adopting a kid that may not, you know, have the finances. Let's say a good kid that, you know, has a, you know, lit athletic talent and things like that, but not necessarily capable of affording all the school fees and funds that's associated, you know, outside of, you know, the extracurricular activity. Do you guys experience that?
You know, I haven't directly because I don't, you know, with the registration and stuff, I don't really get into that. That's my baby until practice is over. You know, he's mine. I'm Coach Mike. He's mine until it's over. But on my son, my oldest son, on his level, we have, I know that there's a couple of, like the president of the organization is one of our fraternal brothers, Baron.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the coaches that I know for sure, he's one of the fraternities of Phi Beta Sigma. And he coaches, even though his son is playing, he still coaches You know, he's out there donating his time. So, you know, that, yeah, I don't know, and it's sad, I don't know everybody, but I know enough of the faces and the guys that's been around. I've coached against them on a couple of other different teams. But it's not necessarily whether they're fraternal brothers or sorority sisters or not. My biggest thing is they're out there with the kids. But as far as some of the participation, I haven't, and that's probably my fault because, you know, if I see somebody out there and they're giving their time, I could care less what organization that you
with. Exactly, because it's not necessarily about, you know, the organization itself. It's about individuals willing to, you know, give back. And like I said, I was just trying to, you know, because different areas experience different things. And I know here, you know, we try to, you know, strongly encourage, you know, outside participation because, you know, in some cases, you know, the janitor becomes, you know, a big part of, you know, a child's life. Of course, you know, you deal with bullying and stuff like that. So a lot of times, you know, I find out with my job when I have a client in, you know, most of the time they'll tell you that there's nobody that they can really look up to or really talk to. Or if they talk to somebody about a certain incident, then they are considered, you know, ratting or, you know, doing something like that. So, you know, to change, you know, the philosophy or the ideals, you know, of the individual mind, you know, we just need to, you know, kind of stay together. That's why I say it's important that you, myself, and, you know, all the listening audience, you know, find somebody that, you know, we can talk to about some of the things that's going on, because the more you get involved, the more people you will actually have, you know, making a change in, not just the community, but, you know, the society as a whole, because, you know, you fix the, you know, neighborhood, you fix the community. You know, if you fix the community, you fix pretty much your state. And then if you fix your state, then you end up fixing the nation, and then it goes on out into the world. And I'm reminded by, you know, Michael Jackson's song, you know, We Are the World. And like I said, it's a lot of work out there. And if more people, you know, put their efforts into the work itself rather than, you know, the prettiest horse or the high-stepping horse or the largest trail ride or the smallest trail ride, we can actually move forward, because there's going to always be somebody that's on the top, in the middle, and at the bottom. But because you're at the bottom and in the middle, it does not mean that the top is better. It just means that their opportunity, their situation is a little bit better. But the top can always pull, you know, the bottom and the middle up. And you know, if we collaborate and, you know, continue to do the things that we need to do. So, Mike, I appreciate, like I said, our conversation that we have had, the text message conversation that we have had, along with the personal, you know, phone-to-phone contact. And like I said, every time I get off the phone with you guys, I am, you know, just thinking, you know, what's the next move? What's the next move? And Ron, of course, you know, he's up late at night. I'm seeing just like I am. And, you know, he's shooting me a text. And at the same time, I'm trying to shoot him a text back. And what we're doing, we're just magnifying something that this time last week, Mike, I think you would agree, we knew nothing about this. We didn't have any idea that something like this would blow up this quick. And yeah, the way I look at it is, you know, the good Lord gives some of us, you know, he spoon feeds us, and then some of us he give us solid feed, food. So, you know, I kind of call, you know, look at the thing and say, you know, that's fine. You know, I call them the Gerber babies. You know, some of them have to be fed, you know, a little bit less than the others, but we all are being fed, and that's the goal, to get to where everybody else is at. So I think you'd agree with that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. We definitely got something in common there. And then, you know, true enough, with the conversations over the last just week or so, trying to do some things for the little boy. My wife and I looked at the pictures last night of him riding the horse, or getting a chance to ride the horse. And, you know, when I saw him, I thought about my baby boy, who I put him on his first horse at 2 years old. And at 2 years old, I had him on a Missouri Appaloosa Foxtrotter. Missouri Foxtrotter Appaloosa Cross. And this is probably the best horse I've ever owned, next to the one I have now for him. And at 2 years old, he was able to somewhat handle the rein. And they both, he and his brother, just start screaming and hooping and hollering. I mean, that's something that we take for granted. And to see this little boy on this horse with no fear, not knowing, but just knowing that he loved that horse.
Right.
It was kind of, it just brought back brought back that thought, and how innocent a child is, and how innocent a child starts, and how unknowingly of the real things that go on and transpire with that child, and how we are to help shape and mold and build to make that child than ourselves were, but also give them the opportunity to understand what things can transpire.
Correct.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, Mike, I'll tell you, when No Tie Down Rider posted the video, I immediately went on the Facebook post, and, you know, my comment was, you know, I come as tough as a nail, but I'm not so tough that I can't shed a tear. And when I seen that video, tears just, you know, started to flow, because, you know, I was telling Rob that, you know, years down the road, this little kid might end up being the president or something, you know, something close to that. And he can reflect back and say, you know what, I remember back in 2013 when I was 2 years old, I remember some guys, you know, that, you know, gave me the opportunity that I never received before. And it's those types of things that, you know, kind of push and elevate, because, like I said, I know that the mother herself, she is the mother and the grandmother, they are just, you know, as happy as possible. Now, I think, Ron, I got some people telling me that they're calling online or whatever. I'm not sure.
You got a whole line of people.
Okay, well, let's take the callers then. Let me get one caller. Hello, caller. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
All right. State your name.
Chris Ankelard.
Nathan, how you doing there, buddy?
No, that's Chris Ankelard.
Okay, Chris, how you doing, Chris?
Good, and y'all?
Okay, Chris, just for the listening audience, just speak like you'd normally be speaking, you know, on the phone, but just a little bit clear, because what I want to do is I want to make sure that they know exactly who you are. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you was way upstate somewhere working at your job yesterday, right?
Right. I drove in from Kansas the day before. I came home for the holidays, and so happened the event was right then. I mean, I didn't get home till six that morning, Saturday morning, and I didn't get much sleep since I got in.
I think you indicated to me on the Facebook thread that you wanted to make sure that you could be there. And like I said, you drove 7 hours to get back here for this event. Now, for the just listening audience, you came in contact with Team Saddlebred way back in March, February, March. And you missed the event at the Cajun Dome because you had to work.
What has
Team Saddlebred been able to, you know, give back to you, and you've been able to give back to it, and where would you like to see it go as far as not just riding or talking the talk, but walking the walk as well? Just give us your feedback.
Well, I mean, like you said, I missed the event in March due to, you know, having to work or whatever not. But, I mean, ever since we got this Team Saddlebred thing going on, I mean, I met a lot of new folks, you know. I got close with some guys like Rob Fenton. I mean, you know, I've been knowing Rob for a long time, but we got a lot closer being, you know, we both ride Saddlebred horses. I mean, and then I met you, Jay West, you know, a lot of people that deal with Saddlebred horses, you know.
Right.
But,
and Chris, I think you'd like to co-sign, you know, the philosophy that we have. We just support the Saddlebred. We're not excluding anybody else who ride whatever breed that they want to ride. The goal is to actually get out and do some positive things at trail
right.
rides. As a matter of fact, you can at some point, you can state the name of your trail ride organization as well, and what area you're from.
Right. Well, I have my own group. Me and Nathan and my brother, we all started our own group. We call Flying Solo Riders, and we're from Bracketo, Louisiana.
Okay.
I mean, we were a bigger group at one time, but it's only us three. You know, that's all we really need. I mean, we all grew up together. I mean, Nathan is not my blood brother, but blood wouldn't make us no closer. So we all brothers in this group, you know.
Okay, and Chris, I think Rob indicated to me that your grandfather did something like this with you when you were younger, and that was one of the reasons why you had
right.
the burning passion
right.
to allow you to be here yesterday.
Right. My grandfather put me on my first horse at 2 years old.
So
and I still remember that how it went from this day. I mean, people don't remember stuff from that age, but for some reason, that's one of my highlights of my life, you know. And to be able to do something like that for that little bar, I mean, it's just I had to make sure I was there, you know.
So Chris, before you sign off, how much of an impact did this make on you when that little child was sitting in the cockpit to saddle with you yesterday on your saddlebred?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I had to really hold back as much tears as I could because, I mean, around this time of year, it's kind of tough for me because I lost my grandfather 5 days before Christmas. And for this kid to want to ride this horse for Christmas and, you know, and me able to give him this wish, I mean, it was just amazing. You know, it's a very humbling experience. You know, people don't understand the little things in life. You know, people take life for granted some days, you know, complain about the little things, but you never know what the next person got going on. You know, everybody should be blessed with the life they have.
Right. Chris, I'm getting kind of chills, you know, when you're talking. Sorry about the loss of, you know, your grandfather. You know, our prayers are sent out, you know, to you for strength, you know, around this time. You know, the brothers are there, not just here. We got Mike out in, you know, Houston area. We got Ron. We got Russell. You know, we're going to make this thing a tri-state, quad-state event, you know, some things that we're working on. So we appreciate what you did yesterday. It will never go unnoticed. We hope that, you know, the next event that we have, you know, for the kidney patient that you'll be a part of. And one last thing, for the record, you as a member of Team Saddlebred and your own riding club, you are dedicated to the cause of doing things other than just riding a horse in the community, correct?
Right.
Okay. Chris, we want to thank you for calling in, man. Thank you for your time, and we'll take the next caller.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
All right.
Next caller. Hello?
Yo, Byron.
Yes, sir. Who am I speaking with?
Brian Cassidy, tuning in.
Brian Cassidy, how you doing?
I can't call it.
Okay, Brian, give us an overview of your riding club and your name. I think you're up in North Louisiana where I'm at. And just give us a little feedback about your riding club and what, you know, Saddlebreds have been able to offer to you guys and some of the community projects that you guys are willing to work on to try to help make the community better.
I'm Brian Cass. I'm tuning in from Sterling, Louisiana. And my overview as a Saddlebred owner, it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. It pulled me out the streets from doing wrong and being in trouble all the time to want to turn around and give back. The way we operate, we're family oriented, but we find kids. If we get on a ride anywhere, we find kids. If they come out running and want to see what's going on, they show interest. We all, if it's 13 of us, we all unmount our horses and put them up there. Because that might be something that just stores something. That's something that you just can't take. That's just an opportunity that's got to be given.
I mean, Brian, I appreciate you, you know, noting the fact that, you know, just I venture to say just horses itself took you from a life that could have gone wrong to a life that's got you on the right track. And that's one of the positive things that, you know, a horse can do, especially once you develop, you know, a relationship with it. Now, S-Town Riders, I believe you guys may have a trail ride at some point in time. What month of the year is that?
August.
August? Did you guys have a date set up yet?
I want to say we shoot for the weekend after the second weekend of August.
Okay, that's pretty much after the Black Rodeo, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you guys have any other you know, event that's going on that's community oriented, or are you guys willing to join in with some of the stuff that you know, that's being promoted here tonight, you know, on, to the listening audience? Because what we're doing is trying to create a trail ride atmosphere that goes outside of just, you know, the music, you know, the trail riding, the shooting the BS and all that other kind of stuff. We want to see what's going on positive, you know, with, you know, the trail ride organizations or individuals as a whole. So we don't want you guys to just let this be the last time tuning in, because we have some upcoming, you know, events, some upcoming programs that we want to try to create the most amount of people that's willing to do, you know, some things that are positive in the community. If you got anything else you want to add, you can go ahead. Otherwise, we're going to try to take another caller.
Hey, Byron, anything that's got to do with us helping out, me and my whole club, we in.
Well, Brian, Merry Christmas to you and S-Time Rockers, Riders. We wish you the best on the upcoming new year, and we thank you for calling in, and have a blessed night.
All right, you do the same.
Okay. We'll take another caller. Caller, you there? Hello?
You got some out there, but let me do it this way. I'm gonna help you out a little bit. We got a caller on the last four is 5217.
I'm not sure who that is.
I'm going to let y'all think about it. Y'all let me know when y'all figure it out. While y'all waiting, I'm going to be doing something.
Is that Russell? What's going on, buddy?
Go ahead, Russell.
Is that Russell? What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, some of the guys
on
the speakerphone. Well,
you know,
I got to
show my love.
Yeah, because I'm getting some feedback from, you know, my Facebook Messenger that we have some callers on the line. That's the reason why I was asking if we had some waiting, because
yeah,
I think some are calling long distance.
Yeah, you got some. You got a 616 area code out there, and that's 24151 that's sitting out there. He's been out there for a while.
Okay, let him come in, Ron. I mean, Ron, let him
they
come
on.
In.
They on. They on.
Hey, how it's going? Who identify yourself, caller?
Man, it's Jay West. That's
oh, Jay West, how you doing,
my
man?
From
JC
Michigan.
Stable.
Ah, good. Yeah,
okay.
It's a girl from Michigan, man. She actually showed Saddle Grace a few years back, and I asked her to join the call, man, just to tell her personal experience as far as from being in the show ring with those horses and experience her life through, you know, what Saddle Grace did for her. So,
okay. Let her identify herself. We have a female caller from Michigan. State your name and just give us a little background about yourself.
Hey, I'm Jasmine. Nice to meet you guys.
How you doing, Jasmine?
I'm doing fine. Just hanging out at the house right now.
Give us some feedback, you know, on how Saddlebreds has influenced your life. If there's any positive things that you guys are doing in the community, you know, up in, you know, Michigan that, you know, we can kind of piggyback on, or if you guys would be interested in, you know, doing some things with us down here within the next, you know, several months, because we have some programs and some shows that we're going to try to be doing that can impact the community from a positive standpoint.
Okay, well, I would have to say horses just in general, you know, they are a really positive influence on my life, because I would say without horses, I'm not sure where I would be right now. And I thank God every day for that, because I was going down the wrong path. And in the back of my head, all I could keep thinking was horses. And I feel like that drew me back into the love of wanting to go back and join, of course, the Saddlebred community, because I think Saddlebreds are probably the most amazing breed of horse that could ever have lived. So, I don't know.
So, Jasmine, for a potential young listener that's out there, or a parent who may be dealing with a child, you know, maybe struggling or trying to go down the wrong road, do you have any advice or input that you would like to offer by way of trying to, you know, steer them back in the right direction, or some of the signs, you know, that they may be able to look forward to?
Well, I would just say try to keep as positive as you can and look at the best things in life rather than the worst, because every day people have struggles that they go through, and you're not the only one who has problems. Everybody has problems they have to deal with every day. It's just on how you react to them at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Jasmine, just for a point of reference, if at any point in time we may have a child that may need to have a talk with, can we get some type of confirmation from you that you might be willing to, you know, have a personal conversation with, by way of a phone call with, you know, because I deal with them every day in the DA's office, so it's hard for me to find mentors. You know, I don't want to say role models or anything like that, but oftentimes we have kids who say that they have nobody that they trust that they can talk to, and I find when you have a kid that's going down the wrong road, they relate better to somebody who was going down the road but changed their life versus somebody, you know, like me wearing a shirt and tie, sitting up looking at them, you know, with a white shirt, because that kind of intimidates them, and then that sends this trust versus mistrust concept, because part of the system.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jasmine, hi, I'm Russ, I got to interrupt, I'm sorry, y'all good, you having church in here, Byron?
I'm trying to, man. I told you, it's the smoking glass hour, and I'm trying to keep it hot as possible.
Man, I got a question. How old are you, Jasmine?
Hello?
How old are you? I'm Russ with Taylor Mays.
I'm 21.
You're 21?
Yes.
You should, any kid that you see, carry a picture of a horse in your purse, in your wallet, in your phone, anywhere. I mean, my story is similar to you. I'm 30. I have a wife, three kids. I let's just say I'm in a predominantly white area, and I was like Michael Jordan in this area. The big head got to me. You couldn't tell me nothing. I'm Al Taylor's grandson. You can't tell me nothing. If there's a horse, I can ride it. If there's a girl, I can pull her. If there's a truck I want, I'm going to get it. If you get in the way, I'm running over you, and I'm getting in my truck, and then I'm going to laugh at you on the way down. Well, that was my belief. In reality, smacked me in the face one day. And your story will change more kids' lives than you will ever, 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 ever imagine. I didn't have a father growing up. I have several strong black mentor African-American males that grew up around horses, from walking horses to quarter horses. And it is your job, your duty as a person that shares that passion to pass that on to as many youth as you can, because you know what's going on with society right now. We have a kid that's in Killeen, 15 years old, was shot in the car. Same neighborhood that me and my cousins run around as kids. 15 years old, shot in the car. Killeen, Texas. This is not the direction we want to go. I don't know if you have any kids. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And I refuse to let them have to go through what I went through or be in an environment created by bad parenting. Acceptance of responsibility. You're in our generation. I consider you my. Acceptance of responsibility carries on more. Just like Byron was saying, you have to pass. If you can't go through something and be able to tell somebody, man, I did that. Now, you listen to your mom, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, difference is you've been through it. You walked it. I don't know your story. You don't have to tell me your story right now. You've done some stuff that some little girls probably run around doing or whatever. You can save that girl's life or some kid, other kid's life by just telling your story.
Hey, Russell, and if I may interject, I'd like to piggyback on what you said because, you know, statistically, you know, they say that girls have become a little bit more aggressive than guys, and it's hard for a girl to talk to a male about, you know, some of the things that they're going on. So you take an individual like Jasmine who knows – you know, how to, you know, sit down and just kind of hear, and she can see those warning signs and things like that. And like I said, all this does tonight for 41 minutes, this just confirms that there is a lot of work that needs to be done. We have people that we can put in place to get this job done. We just need to continue to go on. Nobody get the big head. Nobody feels like they're inferior and the other person is superior. It's none of that. We all are just trying to do the same thing, which is lead, you know, a community from going down to lifting it up. And Jasmine, I know you've been holding for a while. If you got anything else you want to add, you can go ahead. But we would really like for you to tune in, you know, to Ron's program, to his show. I applaud him for giving us Team Saddlebred and the likes the opportunity to you know, do what we're doing. Otherwise, our voices would never be heard on this type of level. They would be heard, but it'll be far less than what it is now. So if you got anything else you want to add, you can go. Otherwise, we're going to try to take another caller.
Well, I would just actually like to thank Jay West, because he's the one who told me to call in today.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, Jay West is a young guy that I am very, very proud of. He knows that he's about to take on a new journey. This time next week, he'll be starting something that 7 months ago it was not even in his wildest dreams. And we want to applaud him, you, and any young person that's out there that's trying to go down the right road. Because believe me, at my age, I don't know what I would be doing now if I was living in these times as a young person. So we applaud you guys. Feel free to call in and let us know anytime. And Ron, we'll take another call.
Yo. Hey, you
uh-huh.
Like to hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jay, man. I was just calling that guy. I want to thank Jasmine for coming on, man. But, Barry, you will see her in the near future. I'll make sure if I got to drive up to Michigan myself just to bring her back to Louisiana. You got my word. I'm going to do that, because I would love for her to share her story, man.
Right. And also, Jay West of JC Stables, you know, went out and brought the little kid. I'm going to go it on and spoil it. He's buying a kid a pair of Wrangler jeans and some spurs to go on a pair of boots. Now, if a little two-year-old kid, if you see this kid on Facebook and imagine him in a pair of jeans and some spurs, that's going to be a sight for sore eyes. And you think the tears was rolling yesterday, just wait and see until you see this little kid drive up. Ron, we're waiting on another call because my Facebook viewers are sending me, telling me they're on hold.
Well, you're welcome to invite them in. There's a lot of them out there.
Okay, call it. Identify yourself. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, yes, identify yourself. A lot of mail. Hold on.
We're getting a lot of feedback.
Can I get a caller? Hello?
Well, you got Gov out there. If ain't nobody else going to answer, Gov been sitting out there for a minute. He ain't say the word.
Okay.
I'm just enjoying the show. Yeah. Listening and learning.
Okay. Okay, well, we appreciate you tuning in, man. And we're trying to get as many callers as possible because they indicated they were going to call, and I don't want nobody emailing me saying that they didn't get a chance to talk. So we want to give everybody the opportunity to spread whatever it is that they wanted to spread. So if we got another caller, you can identify yourself. Caller? Ron, I think you're in charge of the callers. I don't know if there's anybody out there.
Hey, I'm still
well,
here.
Well, I tell you what we got is we got. I think that's 5217.
That's
sitting online. That's sitting out there. That's you.
That's,
what about 4782? And then your boy just called in, Mr. 1111. Mr. 1111111.
Robert, I'm two number. It is Russ with TaylorMade Stables.
Hello.
Hey, Robert Bruno, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yourself, man?
Okay. On this epic event that took place at the Underground Stables and Bro Bridge, give us a minute by minute you know, encounter of what happened yesterday and how it all transpired?
Well, man, I don't know where to start about yesterday, man. I'm still in awe from the time that all the little kids and my relatives and everybody that came on just to cheer the little kids. It was just an amazing feeling. I'm still in awe. I'm still lost for words, man. And like Chris mentioned earlier, man, you could tell that it was from his heart to see that kid in that saddle, and then he would say the words like ride, and then the horse just reach out and just put his lips on him. You know, just man, I'm still in awe, man. My heart is just I'm lost for words, man.
Okay, when you guys first met the little guy, what was going through your mind as to how much of an impact this would make on this child?
Well, when he you could see how excited the kid was when the grandmother took him out the car, he kicked and he lost his boot, and I was amazed. I said, "Look, he have his boots on." That's how excited the little kid was. And then when he put him down on the concrete and he realized what was going on, man, it's like the little kid just lit up, man. It's just like the chills and the goosebumps. It's like, this is for real, man. This is for real.
And I believe from about 6 o'clock a.m. up until about 5:30, you flooded Facebook with every picture that you guys took, video, not for bragging rights, that purpose. What was your purpose for doing what you did on Facebook?
The purpose for doing that is because an older guy, when I was young, he took the opportunity, time with me. It was on a fishing trip. I'd watch them go fish every weekend, and I'd always sit in the back on the step and watch them load that boat up. And I'd say, man, one day they're going to take me fishing. And it just so happened that he came across the fence, and he talked to my mom and said, your son is always there watching us. But when we go fish, we normally drink on the water. But if you allow me to take him fishing with us, we're not going to drink. We're not going to do anything. We just want to take him with us one time. And I could still remember that this older guy took time out for a little guy like me. So that's what I think about this kid. When this came about the kid, one opportunity, I said, well, they gave me the chance. Well, let us give this kid the same chance.
Rob, I'll tell you, I'm sitting here in my office now, and, you know, tears, you know, because I don't hold back tears, but I've heard Chris, you know, talk about, you know, his experience. You come on, talk about your experience. Jasmine come on and talk about their experience. There's nothing new that's under the sun. So the same thing that happened to you guys is happening now, and that's why it's very important that we go outside of just, you know, riding a horse, you know, sitting at the stables, you know, shooting up, you know, everyday, trail ride jargon. We need to branch out of that. Like I said, some of us got, you know, background, you know, and various backgrounds, you know, college educated, but none of that means anything if you can't go back and give to somebody else. Now, I think by you going to Gremlin, being the drum major, you are used to attention, and you know how to deal with attention. And a lot of people misunderstand no tie-down rider, which that's fine because that's something that you can handle. But for a kid that's out there who or a parent in this case who may be listening, give them some tutelage as to what they can do to inspire their kid, or how they can reach out and you know, try to touch somebody else's life that's in their community.
It's all about attention, man. You have to give a kid attention. You might not even notice them. You know, they keep coming up to you. They're asking you to do this, asking you to do that. And sometimes we are too busy. But if you don't give them that attention, they will branch out, and that attention that they'll get will be from somebody that you don't want them to get that attention from. So you always have to be looking for the signs. I mean, it's plenty of signs out there, man, to reach out. But you have to reach out to a kid, because if we don't reach out to help them, man, the horses, man, back to the horse. If the saddlebred, everybody ride different types of horses. The saddlebred is just a calling. Once we connect with another brother or a sister behind the saddlebred, let's do something positive. Put the horse on the side. We connected. Let's do something for somebody else, man.
Hey, Ron and Russell, I know y'all feeling the same thing I'm feeling. Like I said, the hair is standing up on my arm because I have witnessed Rob cry on numerous occasions. Now, this guy loves to have fun and put a smile on his face, but when it comes time to doing the real things, this guy has never failed. He drove 3 hours to come and do a DJ event for me where they normally get, I believe, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $1,200, depending on what type of event. The guy told me, Baron, I would not charge you a nickel. The only thing I'll ask is that you pay my gas up there and back. And I tried to give him something. He would not take it. And I think from the last conversation that Mike and I had, Russell and I had, you know, back last week that actually got me to where we're at today, we was looking for dedication, number one. We were looking for people who had the heart, the passion, and the desire to do some of these things. I mean, we get criticized, we meaning all of us that's listening, we get criticized for trying to do the right thing. You're going to get criticized for doing the wrong thing. You may as well choose whatever side you're going to be on and do it because you're going to be criticized regardless. Rob, before you go, is there anything that you would like to add by way of events, upcoming events, you know, how you like Team Saddle Bread to go? I believe Marilyn just identified me and let me know that she's online. Can you hold 1 second, Rob?
Oh, no, I tell you what, we'll catch up later. I mean, I don't like to steal the show. I want everybody to have opportunity.
Okay.
And I'll just sit back in the church and continue to listen, and I appreciate your time.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year.
Same to y'all.
Marilyn, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Okay, Ron and Russell and Mike, this is the grandmother who had enough courage on a daily basis to read my Facebook posts and statuses. My pastor always said, Baron, you can best believe that somebody's watching you when you think nobody's watching you.
Amen.
And this lady emailed me and gave me some information about her 2-year-old grandson and the child's mother. And she told me how the little kid rides in the vehicle, and every time he would see a horse, there would just be a big smile. He'd just light up. And if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think she asked me if there was any way that, you know, her grandchild could, you know, come in contact with some horses.
Correct.
Immediately when she told me that, I text Rob, no tie-down rider, and say, look, man, we got to put this together. I'm up in North Louisiana. It makes no sense for her to have to drive here or me have to drive there with my horse. Let's put something together, and we did. Miss Landry. From beginning up until yesterday, give us a point by point. And I know you, like you said, you're shy. So just tell us, just speak from your heart. Nobody's listening to you right now. Just block it out. It's just you and I talking. Give us the feeling that you felt yesterday when you saw your grandson's wish be granted.
Oh, no words could even express the way that we felt. It was for myself and also for my daughter, which is his mom, which is on dialysis and needs a kidney also. So it was really no words that could really express the way that we felt. It was priceless. It was everybody was full of emotion. He doesn't speak much, but on yesterday he was trying to say so many things, and he was just laughing, and he was just so excited. It's just been a pleasure to meet all of you guys and to get the help that we needed, you know. Sometimes you don't know where to get help from, and like I said, I was just looking, and I happened to see your website, I mean your page, and like you said, you gave me the information, and then you got things rolling for me, you know, and I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it. I mean, because it's not every day that you meet people that will extend themselves out for you that way.
As I said in one of the messages that I sent you, you can validate and confirm that these guys that you have been able to witness, they don't just talk to talk and ride horses. They actually walk the walk and put things into action.
Yes.
And you can dispel any myth or rumor when people may say that all trail riders – do nothing but the negative. You have been able to actually witness the positive. Now, I'm getting email messages now saying that they are in tears, and actually I am, and I'm just trying to decoy them, but I don't mind sharing my emotions when they are appropriate. It does not make me any less of a man. As a matter of fact, it makes me more of a man because we all are human. When I seen your grandson, you know, in the back of the vehicle, you know, yesterday, you know, he was asleep. I said that God allowed him to be worn out for a good cause. I mean, I just imagine, you know, me, you know, at that age, if somebody would have given me that opportunity. And it cost nobody anything. Like I said, Chris drove 7 hours to get there. Rob put, you know, insurance, you know, liabilities up. Paula came from another place to be there. You know, Renrick left a you know, you know, he left an event from I believe Baton Rouge. What I'm saying is that we have people that we are beyond the BS. We are beyond all the crazy talk. Now we do that in our own way, but when we are called to action, we're going to move. We're trying to create a revolution that has never been seen before. I'm talking about average guys. When I say average guys, I'm talking about those guys who are getting out of their normal day-to-day element. I get out of my shirt and tie because I want to be considered the guy that gets down in the trenches. Whether I got my shirt and tie on or not, it does not matter. But I am elated that you had enough courage to reach out, you know, to us. I believe Mike, if he's still on the line, he's the individual who is trying to find some type of horse figurine. And, Mike, you may want to speak how you was impacted. I think that you mentioned to me when you were young, if you're still on the line.
Yeah, I'm still here. You kind of let the cat out of the bag there, Baron. You should wait till this weekend when my in-laws come in from Atlanta. But I read the story that Baron posted about your grandson, and – you know, my kids get to ride horses all the time, and my baby was the same age as your grandson when I put him on his first horse. Myself as a kid, I used to ride all the time with my uncle and my cousins, and I know how I felt then.
Right.
Well, my thing is, you know, that child may never get an opportunity, and I understood about his mom's condition as well as yours. But I reached out to Baron, and I said, hey, I said, look, I said, you know, I do understand the situation of the parents, but on behalf of my family and you know, my organization, the Lone Star High Steppers, we want to give something to the child.
Thank you.
Everybody tell you, I'm a big kid. And Gov will tell you when he see me, 99% of the time I have my children with me. My boys are with me. I got two boys. They're 6 and 8 now. They're always with me. And, you know, I know that it was my uncle who let me come ride his horse on a regular basis. It was my grandmother who let me walk down the side of the highway to my uncle's house on a regular basis. It was my cousin that watched me fall off of her horse. When my cousin used to keep me when my mom went to school when I was 3 and 4 years old. The reason why I still deal with horses now. So I thought that it would be something nice for him to have and he would keep. I said, I want him get some horses, get something he can play with or something that he can take and put somewhere.
Oh.
I know I used to. My grandmother, if I could call her right now and put her on the line with her, she'd tell you I slept with mine. Between my little horses and my little Hot Wheel cars, I used to sleep with them. You know, so I know it's not to make anyone sad or to bring any tears.
I can hear them tears flowing from Maryland now, Mike.
Yes.
Just let the fire burn. Don't put it out. Just let it burn.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with crying for calls like this.
But
now on this one, on the other telephone number, 347-855-8118.
If you can see my face now, it's a happy deal, but I haven't stopped smiling since I told Byron that I wanted to do this. And my wife and I, we walked around the store. We walked around. We looked. We still have not yet found the perfect horse for him. And last week we wanted to find it. I want to have it shipped to you so we have it for Christmas. But that's okay. When I come, I'm bringing my boys to Generate, Louisiana this weekend after Christmas. And you'll get to meet myself, my wife, my baby boy, Makai, my oldest son, Michael.
Awesome.
Because I want them to understand that, you know, you have the luxury of being able to go to the barn and feed your horses. But
yeah.
Teach this little man about it. I wish I could bring my horses so he could ride them too. But it just won't, you know. But he's not the only child, because we're all children of God.
Yes.
We have to be able to want to reach out. So I don't try to do nothing in the forefront, though. You know, I've been put out here. I just inbox Baron. I said, hey, man, we want to do something for the kid. Because I love the kid, you know. So anything, you know, we can do, we want to try. My wife has already said she's trying to find a way we can make it back down, the support benefit that's also going on. So, and that's me. That's what motivated us.
Hey, Mike. If I can get you to co-sign this with Russell and all the other guys, just for right now, we're going to make Blake the official first time ever honorary member. I'm gonna say Team Saddlebred right now. But what we're gonna do is we'll create a name that everybody can agree with. He's gonna be the first individual that's inducted as an honorary member for lifetime. Okay, and what we'll start doing is anytime we go in a community or whatever and we help somebody, we're going to make people honorary members. So if they are present and they're at a trail ride or whatever, somebody's going to dip in their pocket and invite this person in. If I can get you guys to agree with something like that, because I want the gel to stick. I don't want it to just be a one-time event and then this time next year everybody's forgotten about it. Now this lady, Marilyn, is on the line showing her emotions, and you don't just show emotion to strangers just to be doing that. So Mike, I have to give you props. Not that you want them or not that you need them. You have done something that made an impact based on the life that you grew up in as a young child. Again, I'm going back to Chris. I'm going back to Rob, no tie down. I'm going back to Jay Jasmine. I mean, there has been nothing but love shown. And people always ask me, well, Baron, why are you always doing stuff for people? It's in me to do it. Even when people are stabbing me in the back and turning the knife, you know, the good Lord always say, Baron, just keep doing it. I told you, I'm giving you the strength to do what you're doing. You don't worry about the next man. So that's why I do what I do. That's why I try to encourage other people to do what I'm doing, because when I'm down, Ron, Mike, and Russell, it gives me pleasure to help other people. I forget about my problem. Just right now, I got two people that are struggling with cancer right now that are on Facebook page. And one of them is, you know, in the just don't know what she's existing now. Another one just, you know, breast cancer. It's too much work for the BS. And Marilyn, I don't want to hold you any longer than what we have to. I want to applaud you for calling number one.
Let me jump in there, Byron.
Go ahead,
Darren. Let me jump in there. I want to tell y'all something. This night is one of those nights that you just have to. This is just before Christmas, and ma'am, I want to tell you, my heart goes out to you, and I'm glad your grandson had a good time. And we will do whatever we can. Whatever Byron says, he has my support, he has Russell's support, and he has Mike's support. So I just want to tell you, whatever we can do, let us know. But I want to tell you something. We got a guy that just came on the air. We're going into his hour, so I think he's going to give up his hour so we can continue this conversation. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Bruno?
Hey, Ron, how's it going, man, everybody? How y'all doing? I think this is a worthy cause of giving up my hour for.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give up my hour so you all can continue to campaign and try to raise some funds and help this sister. I would
If we can, then I'll tell you what. If you want to join in together, that'll be fine, and you can have your callers, to call in, because I do not want to intrude. I know that you're giving it up, but I'm the type that, I'm always willing to step back or trying, to work out, workable solution. So you can have your callers call in, and who knows, something else may magnify out of this thing. We don't know that. So if you don't mind, we can do it that way, or I'll yield to you, and you tell me what you'd like to do.
Well, I'm gonna interject because I know Anthony Bruno very well. He knows me very well, and I think I can, when I say he don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
I don't see him having a problem with it, but
okay. I got a call, so they don't have but a few minutes. Keith Williams, are you on the line?
Hey, what's going on, BG?
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, I'm not bad.
Okay, what do you want to tell us tonight? Give us some feedback on what you've witnessed and what you've been able to encounter tonight.
On tonight with the Blake issue, with the Blake coming out to I think it was No Tie Down Riders stable this evening.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yes. So I actually didn't get a chance to talk to you or No Tie Down, but I've actually been keeping up with it. Over the last past week or so, and I really believe it was definitely a worthy cause, to get that young gentleman out there to, at least fulfill one of his dreams, So I give the, credit to the whole team, everybody that orchestrated that and got that made that happen for that guy there. So I say to the parents and to you all, I think that was well worth it, and it's something that'll live on, near on out.
Okay, Kiva, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, BG.
Okay, you still on the line? Okay, yeah, just go ahead and give us some feedback.
No, yeah, that's what I just finished. I just said I felt it was, a worthy cause for him, and definitely a something that Blake can actually live on and remember.
Yes.
Okay, Keith, you got anything, any upcoming events that are going on that we need to support you or any events that you can support? I believe you're in Austin, Texas right now, but you'll be heading back to Kentucky. And I believe after you go back to Kentucky, you're going to be starting one of the most prolific stables it is in the country, right?
Oh, yes, BG.
Okay, you want to elaborate on that now, or you want to wait till a later time and date to do it?
No, it definitely ain't no secret. I'm actually in Austin on vacation at the moment, but I'll be heading back a day or two after Christmas, headed to Princeton, West Virginia, to Mercer Springs Stables under the direction of Smith Lilly and Sandy Lilly, I'm sorry. And that's why I'll be beginning my two-year apprenticeship to become a saddle horse trainer.
And again, you're trying to be the youngest African American ever to reach that goal, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It was actually once before. Like I said, I mentioned on one of the other calls. It's actually been several, but not just none younger than I am. So, and definitely being an African American trying to accomplish it.
Right. Well, I think you can use Ron, Russell, Mike, and some of the other listeners that's out there that can give you, some encouragement and things like that. Like I said, keep in contact, with the show long after, everything is going on. Like I said, we don't want to use this as a one-time, event or whatever. We're not going to operate like that. We're going to continue, down the road, like I said, creating a larger bubble than what we have now. So we want to say Merry Christmas to you. And your family. Hope you have a wonderful stay in Austin, and we wish you much success when you go to West Virginia. And I understand Smith Lilly is one of the best trainers that's out there.
Oh, definitely. I say he's one of the legends. It's quite a few pretty good trainers out in the South. Actually, it's quite a few amazing trainers out there. But I'd say Smith is one of the best, that's out there.
Okay. Well, Keith, we want to again say Merry Christmas to you, and we'll let you slide. I know you say you had, limited time. I believe, Ron, we may have another caller. Remrick Bogan on the line, maybe?
Yeah,
Is Rimmick, you there? We got a caller?
No. We got plenty of callers on the line.
Okay, let them come through.
I just want to say something, and I know this is Anthony Bruno's hour, but Anthony Bruno is being modest out there about the stuff that he does around his facility and how he does what he does in trail riding. I know he's trying to listen and all that, but give him an opportunity to talk and so he can share his side of this story, and I think you'll be amazed when you hear him.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
Okay, thank y'all for having me, man. It's a blessing for you brothers to be on the air doing what you're doing and trying to do what you do. Like Ron said, I guess I'm trying to be modest. I'm not being modest. I'm just humbled by the power that we have that we don't utilize, and we don't realize how many people we affect with this horse industry and how many people we can help and uplift with this horse industry. I didn't even realize that there was a young brother out there learning to be a saddle horse trainer. I didn't know how, like you said, it's prolific. I didn't know there's another whole other industry that we're touching that I don't even get into because I have my hands full on this pleasure horse side, on the trail riding side, on the off the beaten path type trail riding where guys go and ride and learn how to rope and ride and work cattle and do all that stuff. It's a whole another realm that you all are introducing me to as well, as far as this young guy going out to being a saddle horse trainer. And I used to do that Tennessee Walker train saddle horse thing when I was a kid, but my passion and my heart has always been in the western realm of this horse industry. So what Ron was talking about, some of the kids that I've trained into calf roping and performance horse deal, and these kids have left our place and learned how to go to college and anyway get scholarships from learning to train horses and calf rope and getting rodeo scholarships. So there's some schools that you can go to and get in touch with out through this same industry. And you all opened my eyes to a whole other part of the industry.
Hey, and I'll just to add a little bit on to what you're saying, what a lot of people don't understand, to ride a saddlebred in the trot, the best way to start is with a quarter horse. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of people just don't know that there is a lot of similarities, in all horses. You know, they may do different things, but when you get down to the basic, every horse can trot. They're going to have that trot gait. That's a natural gait. So just based on what you just said, if you are doing training and things like that, for anybody who may be listening that wanted to go from one breed to the next, saddlebred in particular, they can start directly with you training them how to set balance and all those other types of art that goes with it. Then they can elevate themselves to a saddlebred because you have to be able to do that. So, again, that's why I'm kind of glad that we're joining both hours together because there's so much that's in this bowl that can be distributed out to every plate that's out there. So I'm proud to hear you say that.
Yeah, I try to remain humble, but the thing is that, like you said, the basics are the basic. Once you learn how to just ride, period, learn your balances, learn your basic cues, learn the horse science, the key thing is to learn horse science. Once you learn horse science, because once you know the natural behaviors and the responses of a horse, you can teach them in any dressage or any type of riding. There's a basic horse science in all breeds of horses. Their basic nature and their basic way of doing things is all the same, regardless of the breed. It just depends on the breed, on how quick they pick up on things and how much discipline or how much you have to push them to get a response. Some of them are less sensitive, some of them more sensitive. They're cold bloods, the warm bloods, and we can get real deep into it, but I don't want to go that deep. But it all interties into each other because you can what they call snatch gate a quarter horse, and you can get the same rack you'll add a fifth gate to a quarter horse and have the same thing as you can have in a horse that's bred for that is their nature. So you can get whatever you want out of whatever horse if you know the horse science.
So
I kind of teach those things when the guys come over to me. I haven't had kids come to my place and want to learn how to rope and ride, and then they get frustrated with me because I teach them the horse science because I don't want to leave my place being one-dimensional.
Let me ask you this, just for some of the people that I know listen on my side, you got business cards, contact information, or do you have it on your website or something like that they can go to?
I have it on my business card. I can give you my information over the phone, or you can go to my Facebook. I have Northeastern Trail Riders Association on Facebook and Anthony Bruno on Facebook, but I don't have any. My other businesses keep me too tied up to do that. That's just my hobby.
Uh-huh.
And I do that. It's a labor of love. So if somebody wants to come to me, I will allow them, but I only have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of space when
right.
I do take on trainees or horses as well.
Okay.
So
do you actually train horses as well, or break them, so to speak?
I do train horses, but I never break a horse. What
okay.
I do is I tame a horse, or I get a horse's confidence.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference between, you know, I've been in the rodeo family all my life, and the way I trained, it was a joke for years, you know, that I was too easy or too soft. But I get more out of my horses than anybody else in my circle, and now that it's common because of guys like Clinton Anderson and Chris Cox, and since these people have heard about these guys from the being exposed to RFD TV,
right.
That the things that I was doing before it became popular was laughed upon or frowned upon because I don't browbeat a horse or force a horse to do a thing. I teach a horse how to do something, and it's kind of like your kids. You teach
and
them
see,
a repetition.
This is why credit has to be given to Ron, because he's allowed exposure to be given by the airways. You know, otherwise, I would have never heard what you just said. My listening audience would have never heard, unless we came in personal contact. So that's why, again, this networking that we're doing, it's almost imperative that it happens on a daily basis. You know, there's no way, you know, you got Google, you know, where you can do it live chatting and all that stuff. There's absolutely no way where once we make the initial contact that we can't fellowship from this point on.
Yes, sir. That's, you know, when Ron first introduced me to this, it was a guy, since somebody had asked me about 3 or 4 years ago to start a radio show. I don't have that kind of time, but I don't mind sharing my wisdom and my passion with others so we can keep this thing alive, because when Ron first talked to me about it, I said, Ron, there's some things we need to do, and we were on it was God sent, because we were on the same wavelength before we even talked about it. Some of the same things I was saying, he was already thinking about and doing, and it was just by God's design, and I would be saddened if this hadn't ever happened. But I'm glad that it's happening now, and I'm glad I can give my input and my insight and my wisdom from experience to the airwaves, and I hope that it's reaching enough people. But I hope it's reaching more than what I can imagine. But I know it's reaching some, because the first day we came on, we made an impact that was paramount.
Hey, Ron, I got Rerick Bogan that's been waiting for a while. Remember,
let me have
there?
A minute, Byron.
What's up, man?
I want to say this. I want to introduce this point right quick. I got to get this out there. Hey, Miss Bruno, tell them where you from, man. Tell them where your parents
are
from.
Born and raised in Houston, but my family's from Cancun, Louisiana. My dad's side's from Cancun, Louisiana. My mom's family's from Caldwell, Texas. So I'm a half Louisiana, half Texas, but been in Louisiana, raised, boy, heart bred, raised in Houston, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, Remrick that's coming on the line is from Jenneret, and my buddy, No Tie Down Rider, Robert Bruno, he just texted me and said he think y'all cousins. His name is Robert Bruno.
Robert Bruno. What part of Louisiana is Robert from?
He stays in Bro Bridge. He's texting me now saying that y'all are cousins.
Yeah, we probably so, because if even in that area, that's my family's neck of the woods.
it's always work. But, hey, Ron, if I can, let me go ahead and get Ren in right quick, because he's been on the line for a while.
Go ahead.
Go, hey, Ren McBogan, speak, identify yourself.
What's up, man? I'm Ren, man. What's going on?
All right, you're out of Jenneret, Louisiana, right?
Jenneret, Louisiana, repping Showtime Riders.
Okay, Showtime Riders, Remick. Give us your personal account of the event that took place yesterday with the two-year-old down at the Underground.
Oh, man, this is all about giving back, man, making somebody's dreams come true, making people smile, you know, telling people dreams.
When you saw the lit kid yesterday, what was your first impression?
I wasn't there when it happened, but I went there. I got that little lead after everything happened. From what Rob was telling me, it was just a joyous event with the family there, being happy for the little boy, you know, letting him ride the horse and everything. And from what I saw, it was just a joyous event, you know, made me a little emotional. But, you know,
how did you come in contact with from the outset of Team Saddlebred, or just the Saddlebred in general?
Oh, man, my first contact with Saddlebred was when I was going to college at Northwestern, and I seen the 318 boys come across campus on them horses. And I was like, man, what kind of horse is that? Because I thought it was a Tennessee Walker when I saw him at first. But they was like, nah, man, it's an American Saddlebred. I had never heard of that breed before. So, shit, after that, I got an American Saddlebred, and I had never had another kind of horse since.
And since you've been a part of the inception of Team Saddlebred, have you seen any positive benefits that's out there? We've discussed that, you know, there's no exclusion, you know, of any kind, you know, from any individual that's a non-Saddlebred rider. It's all about love, brotherhood, and things like that. What angle would you like to see, you know, something like this, what we're doing with Ron, giving us the opportunity to, you know, spread the word? How would you like to see it go?
I just like it to keep going, you know, just spread rides with other people, fellowshipping with other people that have Saddlebreds out there and the other kind of horses, you know, just get to know other people and fellowshipping, you know, and meet them out there on the trail rides, you know, just having fun on the trail ride with the Saddlebreds, man, you know, turning heads, you know.
Okay, and I believe you and No Tie Down participated in the Jenneret Christmas Parade, right?
Ooh, man.
What was it like to be dressed in a non-typical fashion by way of a suit and derby and, you know, going down the lane as people watch you guys, you know, ride? I mean, give us some feedback on that. It was not a show-type thing. You guys did it, you know, as a part of unity and solidarity, correct?
Yeah, that's what it was, man. We're gonna dress up, you know. We want to be a little different, you know. So we're gonna dress up, you know. We're to the back of the trail, and everybody like, man, who them guys is coming down the road on them horses? You know, we did our thing, man. Made them rack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No stoppers, man.
Okay, but to hone in on the point, you guys are dedicated to not just talking the talk, but walking the walk by way of community events. I think at some point you was doing some coaching on football, because I believe you played football, and you have an invested interest in kids in the community and things of that nature, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Kids first, man. Anything for the kids.
So any event that's going on, whether it's, you know, a duo, a trio, or a quad state type of event, and you're available, you're willing to participate on as often as you can when your job allows, because I believe you may work 12-hour shifts 5 or 6 days a week, something to that effect?
Yeah, I do, man.
Okay. Well, Rick, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we allow you to give your closing, you know, comment and take the next caller?
Nah, man, I'm just happy, you know, that we got this chance to get on the air, to let everybody know what Team Saddlebred about and the things that we're doing, giving back to the community, giving back to, you know, just making kids' dreams come true and things of that sort, you know, just showing everybody what the breed about. It's not about us. It's about just giving back, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, Rimmer, we'd like to say Merry Christmas to you, Happy Holidays, or whatever, you know, that's preferable to you, and we want to thank you for calling in and sharing your story.
It's all good. No problem, man. Big shout-out to y'all, man. Love y'all. Merry Christmas to y'all. Keep this thing alive, man.
Okay. Ron, do we have another caller?
Yeah, we sure do.
Okay, call identify.
Yeah, we got another caller.
Caller, you there?
I can't hear them, but they're there.
I can't hear them either.
I think they hung up. They're going to call back in. So,
okay.
Yo, I just want to say, I want to say this also, Mr. Bruno, I know I'm talking to Byron, I'm taking Byron's time, but I just got to say, Mr. Bruno sit there and he kind of throwing you off because they have this big facility over there where they do rodeo, he actually has that. It's been in his family for a while, and I didn't know everything that was over there till he told me. So I just want to tell you, he has this facility over there that's set up for training horses. And all kind of stuff. They actually do trail rides over there. They have a building where you go on the inside. You can host bands and all of that. I'm just saying, Mr. Bruno is a little bit modest. But anyway, he has a lot going on over there, Byron. So I just want to put that out there and let y'all know that he's also the president of Northeastern Trail Riders, the one that big trail ride. He participates in the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. So... he does a lot of charity work himself.
Well, I'll tell you, Ron, I definitely need to have a one-to-one conversation with him, especially, with trying to find, some other, avenues to, kind of spread the word, put on clinics and things like that. And matter of fact, we all can coexist, with doing something like that, because who knows how many kids we can save in the summertime rather than having on the streets.
Well, those are some of the things that I plan on doing. Let me go ahead and give you all a full introduction of myself. I've introduced myself before, but I'll give a full introduction to myself. I'm Anthony Bruno, trail boss of Northeastern Trail Riders Association, co-owner and manager of Triangle 7 Arena, and I'm a volunteer for the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo and an activist for Black Cowboys, period. We do a lot of things in our area. I've done clinics here before. I coach kids in the evenings and learning how to rope and ride and doing those things and try to help them get scholarships with my with our family's nonprofit, which is Northeastern Trail Riders Association. We've been giving scholarships away since 1982, and that's something that we still do. We got an event coming up to help with our scholarship fundraiser, which is on January the 25th, which is our kickoff dance leading into our trail ride, the week-long ride where we start in Beaumont and ride from Beaumont to Houston, and we stop in East Little Town on our way down from Beaumont to Houston to kick off the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo Parade, and those funds help us. We do those things to fundraise to help the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo give scholarships. Also, our group gives scholarships away as well to help kids in agribusiness or in agriculture. So that's just some of the stuff that we do around here at Triangle 7 and Northeastern.
Okay. Well, like I said, if there's anything, that we can do, if time allows itself, we don't have a problem, getting in. Because, I tell them a lot of times, it doesn't matter whether you take a horse to the trail ride. It's that you go spend your money to get in and spend something with one of the vendors. That's more important than just riding a horse, because you can always ride, the hay wagon or something like that. So, again, I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot of work, for all of us to do. And we just need to take time to do it, learn how to manage our time. As Ron and I was talking, earlier, I believe it may have been yesterday or whatever, if we can just get, everybody focused, on one goal and achieve that, then, focus on something else. Before you know it, we would have achieved, four or five goals in a 12-month time span. And I like the fact that I know here there's not a lot of kids that participate in 4-H, which, that's where you really learn about livestock.
Northeastern, we started our own 4-H program last year. We kicked it off last year. We had about 20 kids. But a 4-H program is good, but it only as good as the parents. It has to have that booster, that nucleus of the parents to come help you do it. I can set it up, and I can put the people there, or you can set up, and you can put the secretaries there, the people help them go on. But if the parents are not involved, it will not survive.
Right.
So it's a thing that helps us have a relationship and with our kids and give them a goal and some directions to help them. It even helps them in managing basic business, and it teaches them to you know, common courtesy. It's a lot of leadership programs in it, within it. And the 4-H is not all what they think it used to be. It was just horses and cows. But there's photography, leadership. There's a lot of different new entities within the 4-H program now that if you can start one in your area or get involved in one of your area, especially in Texas. I don't know what the deal is, how it works in Louisiana, but in Texas, if your kid is active in the 4-H for 4 years and you're in an active 4-H program for 4 years, that the state of Texas will give them a full scholarship to any school in Texas.
Yeah, I think here, because I'm on the board, I know locally, if your kid participates in 4-H and they have some type of project, then 4-H would give them $5,000 to go out. Let's say if they wanted to buy some goats, sheep, hog, or whatever the case may be, they, you know, of course they wouldn't give it to them. They give it to the parent or as a grant of some kind, and then they can actually purchase things like that. But again, I go back to what you said, which I said earlier. You can do all you want to do, but if you don't get those parents involved, actively involved, then you're going to have problems out of the child because it all starts from the root.
Right.
Right. So like I said, you know, again, you know, whatever you know, ideas you guys have, we can kind of put them all on paper and, you know, choose, you know, from good, better, and best and kind of make it happen. You know, 2014 is around the corner. I know Ron has got some ideas going on, you know, that he's thrown out, and I believe Russell was, you know, checking on some things, Mike. So we're all just trying to go forward with, you know, whoever's willing to go forward with us.
Hey, Anthony, what's your age limit or your starting age on your 4-H?
The 4-H, I think the youngest is, I don't want to be incorrect, but I think it's around 7 or 8 years old that you can start in a 4-H, but you only have, there's a limited amount of things that you can do at that age group. They start at any age, but there's only a limited amount of things that you do with those different age groups. And then as you get older, then you get more involved and more intensity in the things that you can get involved in. Because I think there is such thing like a junior 4-H where there was those kids that just come and hang out that are younger, that hang out and help their brothers and sisters, and they get credit for doing that, and they're learning in those in that same aspect, and they're learning some of the standards and the Robert rule of law and how to handle themselves in the parliamentary procedures and things like that. And they get introduced to that at a young age, so it makes it more easier and more apt for them to be active in politics.
Right, because I'm looking for somebody to replace me, and there's nobody to, you know, replace by way of, you know, being elected. It's hard because what happens is, you know, as things change, you lose out, and you know that other generation need to come in. You know, after 20 years, you know, it's time for somebody else to step up. But like you're saying, you don't really have a lot of kids that get involved in, you know, Robert Rules of Order, you know, parliamentary procedure and stuff like that. So you find yourself just steady going and going and going, kind of ticking. But I would urge any you know, kid that's interested in, you know, like news and stuff like that, to get actively involved, because you actually have a chance to change laws that other people have made. You know, at least you have an opportunity to participate and make your voice heard for your constituents.
Right.
I concur on that as well.
Right. And another thing, just some insight from past experience. If we don't train one up or teach them up as we come up in these groups, and even in our trail ride groups and all our little things that we do, if it's just for you, then it only lasts until you get tired of doing it.
Right,
but
right.
If you don't, if you train somebody up in it and get the youngsters involved and show them how it goes and show them each and every aspect of it, the ones that are interested, then you show them, then those kids will turn into the adults, the young adults, and then they'll bring it on and carry it on. If you don't teach the youth whatever you're doing, it will die when you die.
Exactly, and that's a profound statement you just made.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Thank you. It is what it is, and if we don't teach the kids or train the kids, and then one of the reasons I was glad that Ron brought me in, because my thing was to teach the history so that we can get them involved and they can understand and value it, because if they don't understand where they came from, they don't understand where they're going. And if you don't know history, you allow history to repeat itself, whether it be good or bad. Sometimes it's good to let history repeat itself, but then other times it's not.
Right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Ron, we got any callers waiting? Ron.
Just about cleared them up.
Oh.
No, you ain't lost me. I'm here. I'm sitting back enjoying all this conversation. I don't get a chance to do this. Bruno will tell you, when me and Bruno get on there, we normally going back and forth in conversation, or if I'm talking to somebody else, I really just don't get a chance to sit back and listen. And I really enjoy this conversation. I mean, this is the idea that I had when I first started originally doing this radio. I want to get everybody involved, and there's so many avenues that we haven't even touched. But just between you and Anthony Bruno and Mike and Gov and Russell, I mean, just think about how many different places we done went on the trail ride and how many different things we done did and how many people are out there listening to us. And I tell y'all, the numbers are going up every day. You got more and more people out there listening. So the word is getting out. And as long as we can utilize this format in a positive format, and that's what I sold Mr. Bruno on when I was first asking him. I think he was kind of hesitant when I first told him about it. But after he came on and he seen where we was going with this, he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He kind of fit right in. But one of the things that I'm going to say this, and I get long-winded on this. So when we start talking about history, if we don't find out what our history is about trail ride and our involvement in horses and how it impacted us as a black community, all the rest of this stuff doesn't mean anything, because it's not going to carry on. Because you have to show a history in order to provide a future for anybody that's out there. And that's one of the things. This just didn't happen. I always say it like this. We didn't shake and bake and this thing just showed up. There's some people out there that's in struggle to get this to this point. Now, they may not have this radio wave to take it to the next step, or they may not have Facebook to get the word out like they was doing. But we didn't just come up with this, guys. This thing has been going on. We're just going to refine it and take it to another level.
Hey, Ron, I agree with that, and I'll add a little bit to it. What is now has been, and what has been is now. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just in a different format.
And I'm gonna piggyback on that. I'm gonna tell you how deep it really goes. You see, there's a young man, Robert, on there. He's my cousin. I have other cousins that are horsemen, and I have a cousin that works at the Evangeline Downs, and it goes deep. It's deeper than you people imagine. Like I told Ron on one of our first shows, go and check your genealogy if you're into this stuff. I bet you can go and research and see where your ancestors were either into horses or worked in a ranch or worked on a farm. Because my dad's great-grandfather was a stable boy as a slave. So it's so deep in us that we don't even know why we do. We just do it.
That exactly. That's what all originated. There's always a beginning point. And that
right.
point just been lost because history has a way of being, denied and put in another format, which, you know, that's another topic. But at the same time, we're not new to what we're doing, is what you're
right.
saying.
Right.
Right.
We just have to tap into the resources and the skills from those older hands who can help us make what we do better, and us as the new hands or the new promoters and the new trail bosses and wagon bosses and guys, we have to do it in a manner where it's respected, respectful, and honorable to our ancestors and to our present and
right.
future.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And again, you know, the foundation starts at home. But and nowadays, there are some homes that I'm not going to say have no foundation, because I don't want to make that stretch. But the foundation is not necessarily solid or as thick as it should be to create, you know, that balance. When a kid goes outside of the home, they don't just venture into the negative rather than the positive, because they don't know the difference between the two, because they're not getting the positive at home, and all they see is negative. So when they go out, that's what they choose, the negative. Like I said, horse riding, just the trail ride scene as a whole has benefits that most people are not aware of, because they think, I call it a horse manure, my cologne. because it's not going to hurt you. Horse manure does a lot for flowers and all those types of things, fertilizer and all that. So there's a benefit to the negative, but people sometimes don't want to get outside that box or that element to really learn, so they kind of shy away from it.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to go ahead on I'm going to piggyback on that as well. Let me tell you what I do. When those kids come to my place, when those young men come to my place, I don't care where they come from. I don't care what kind of background they come from. I'm going to set a cowboy standard at my place. And
right.
they'll tell you that, Mr. If I see your underwear, if you're sagging, you don't come here. Go home. If you need a belt, I'll get you a belt. But I don't condone, if you know, okay, it's fashionable to a certain degree. If you're going to let your pants sag a little bit with your T-shirt or your shirt tucked in where I don't have to see your underclothes are your underclothes. So when they come to my place, if they want to learn how to rope and ride at my place, at Triangle 7, if they or they want to trail ride with me, if those young men come to my establishment and I see their underclothes, go home. Or let's come get dressed like I am and or like we see these cowboys in the past and let me show you how to be a representable person and learn how to rope and ride. I don't just let them come and learn how to rope and ride and they can haphazardly do it any kind of way. I have some of them come and they leave, and I have some of them leave and come back. They want that discipline. They want that structure. But we are so afraid to reach out and touch our own and give them that direction that we let them fall by the wayside, because sometimes you go to their house, the fathers are young adults who never had a father who taught them how to be a man or how to carry themselves, or a single mom who can't tell a young brother or a young sister how to be a young lady if you don't have that basis or that basic foundation of how we should be doing, not just following along with the way of the world, the way the hip-hop or the way the common or easiest way to do things. The easiest way is not always the right way.
I co-sign that 100%. Like I said, if you can see it daily more so now than you ever have. Like I said, I know most of the time when kids, are coming to court, sometimes I have to just, contain my composure, because in my household with my three sisters and myself, my mother at 83 years old now, if you try to get out of line with her, that skillet, that broom or whatever is close to her, she's going to use it. I notice now kids, they do whatever it is that they want to do. They talk, curse, and do all those other type things to the parent, and the parent just sit there and, take it. That's a whole nother subject right there. But it does mm-hmm. exist, and that creates the environment that we see outside of home now, which ends up with kids going down the wrong road and down the wrong avenue.
So what do you propose that we do with this industry that we have to help those parents or those kids in those situations that want that structure or that change? What do you propose that we do to help that, other than just wash our hands of them?
Well, here's one of the things that we did. I'll take, for instance, the school. At one time, we knew that the parent wasn't going to come to the school. What we did, we created a program by way of a grant, and we had those administrators that went out and directly went to the home. And when they went to the home, what they did was they created a relationship with the individual parent, okay? And they let the parent know that they really understood exactly what their impediments were or what their impediments are. For instance, if most of the time in rural areas, transportation is going to be a problem, and lack of finance is going to be a problem. So we tapped in to those things that that did not exist. We made them exist. Now the one thing that a parent or a child will pick up on is whether you are sincere or whether you're acting. And if you're acting and faking, trying to act like you really care about them, and they know that you don't, you've lost them from day one. Now, what we did, we increased parent participation from the low 20-30% to more than 50-55% at one time in my particular school district. Now, bear in mind, we had a 89% black male dropout rate. That means that 8 or 9 out of 10 black guys were not graduating. What we did, we focused in on some of those other things. We took the graduation rate back up. We started dealing with truancy because most of the time, the number one identifying factor is truancy. So what we did, we created a climate that allowed these people that felt like they was not a part of, we made them a part of. We didn't just give up on them. For instance, the court, what we did, we created a program where instead of actually trying to bring them through the court system and prosecution, we created an intervention program. We created, community service program. And now it didn't just happen like one time or two times because a kid can pick you real quick. So we knew that just because we gave this kid a chance the first time or the second time that they was going to do right the third time. No. We had to take the philosophy that if you chop at a tree long enough, eventually it's going to fall. So we didn't give up. There are times when you just have to do what you have to do, but the majority of the time, if you can let that kid feel comfortable and that parent feel comfortable, they'll be a part. Because here's the deal. Most of the time, we don't even sit down and listen to their story. We automatically go in and assume that they're wrong. For instance, a prime case that I worked, we had a kid where every time he'd go to school, he would fall asleep in the classroom. So the school would call me, and I'm like, well, have you guys been able to identify what are the problems with this child? No. Well, you need to identify. So make a long story short, I sat down with the child. The child told me, said, look, y'all don't understand what I do. Okay, my mother works a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. I got three other siblings at home. I have to be up late at night with these kids. And when they go to bed, I go out and I have to take care of myself. Now, we found out everything that was going on. We got with the parents of employer and asked them to switch her shift from 7 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. where she could be at home with the child at night. Guess what? In a matter of 2 months' time, that whole family environment changed. So you have to be a little more creative. The education part is good. But if you don't have those school of hard knocks going on, sometimes you're going to lose the ball game before it even starts because education is not going to get you everywhere you need to go. It'll get you some places, but it won't help you in the hood.
Boy.
It won't help you in the ghetto. Now,
right.
what it will help you is that the next guy looking at you is going to think that you're better than him. He's going to take it out on you.
Amen to that. And this is one of the things that we're running into here in Houston. They used to have the vocational classes that the ag programs and the paint and body and stuff, and they're taking this stuff away from the schools and keep trying to make sure that everybody goes to college. Everybody's not college material.
Right.
Ron and I both talked about this recently. This everybody's not college material, and in those situations like that kid, he's got to be the daddy at home, and he probably needs to go and start making an income right away as soon as he graduates to help raise his siblings, help his mother raise his siblings.
Exactly.
Because of an absentee father. But you know, those type of things, some of the, you know, we got to get involved in our school boards and things like that where we can make an impact and make sure that the school system sees and the leadership of the school systems in the district sees what's going on and not put everybody in one blanket group or one stereotype that they all should be in this perfect model home and set the standard where it's just this cut and dry type standard where there's no deviation in where a kid can go or a young man or young girl can go from high school to college, high school to work or whatever. And they just
totally,
lighten off it.
Totally agree.
No
Child Left Behind was the biggest joke that ever was created. There's going to always be a child left behind. There's absolutely no way you can put a special ed child and a regular ed child in the same classroom and expect them to perform at the same level. You and I are not going to perform at the same level. Why? Because we have different talents and different gifts. Now, what you have to do is, that's why I say it's important that a parent get involved. Now, most people, in certain cases, There are some situations where when the teacher identifies that this child parent is not going to come to school and check up on that child, guess what? That child stands a chance of not being treated fairly. Not in all cases, but in some cases. Now, I deal with reality, so I deal with the some cases rather than I do with all the cases because those some cases are the ones that are getting caught up in the crack. Now, as a parent, the teacher saw me at school every day. I went to my daughter's school every day, meaning either I was taking her to school or I was picking her up. I made my presence known in the classroom. I made my presence known to the teacher, to the principal. Listen, my child is here to learn. I don't expect her to get anything else but a free and appropriate education. Now, if my child is in the classroom cutting up, I expect you to take care of that problem. Now, if somebody else's child is in the classroom cutting up, I expect you to take care of that problem because my child is here to learn, not to be affected by somebody else's learning. So, it takes actively getting involved in your child's life from an independent approach. Now, there are some other kids who... they latch on to you. When you go up to the school, Mr. Glass, or Mr. So-and-so, listen, kids love to be told how to do right versus wrong. But most people think, well, if I tell them to do something, they're not listening. The old African proverb, a kid may never listen to what, they may never listen to what they see you do, but they would DAM duplicate everything they see you do. That's true. They will imitate everything they see you do. You take a daddy who's out there doing whatever. What do you think that son is going to do?
Emulate.
Exactly. He's going to duplicate because, hey, and I'm kind of glad that my dad might not have been around because it was so much pressure. You got to do this. Or you got to do that. Your uncle did this. I didn't want that stigma on me. I didn't want that mark on my back. So what people try to do with my daughters is my daughter will tell you I'm independent. Whatever my daddy does, that's fine. I'm my own person. Don't compare me to him. She goes out and does the things that she needs to do. Now, I think we all need to, branch out and help the neighbor, but the problem is sometimes the neighbor dislike you because you got it going right and they got it going wrong. So how do you connect the dots? Sometimes only God can change that situation. Because it's too complicated. So, sometimes we wake up in the morning and the first thing we should say is, well, Father, today is a new day. Lord, help us to deal with your people. And that's a true statement because when you're dealing with the next person, it's no idea what you're going to encounter with them.
You're right. Hey, Mike, you still on, Mike?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening. And I being a teacher's son, And my uncle being one of the first black principals at E.B. Scott Elementary in Somerville, Texas, E.B. Washington, everything you guys are saying is very, very evident. But with that being said as well, you got to actually be a child and sit and listen to some of the stories that people come home with. These kids are having a lot of problems, and it's starting at home. And I agree with Barry when he says, you have to go home and you have to talk to these folks at home. Man, some of these parents just don't care. And my wife will tell you, I'm at the school on a regular basis. I was not fortunate enough for my dad to be able to come and sit in school with me. But my grandfather was. My grandmother would come. And then my mom, being a teacher, she would come when she could get away from teaching other people's kids.
Hey, Mike, so I bet you this. What you're trying to say is you knew that somebody was going to be putting the heat to your seat if you was doing wrong at school, right?
Exactly.
And nowadays, it's not enough heat being put to the seat. Parents are afraid of their kids, which my philosophy is there are a lot of people who have kids, but they don't deserve to have them because they're not being a parent that they are required to do.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say something. I'm going to probably see some people off when I say it. But when they remove corporal punishment from the schools, and it happened right before I got into high school, that's when things went south. When you couldn't go to the office and they would light your behind up for cutting up in class or fighting, cussing out the teachers, or just being a downright ding-dong in their classroom, because your mom and daddy said you was too good to get them licks, or ain't nobody going to put their hand on my child, that's where it started. Because I can still remember, I'm not as old as most, but I'm not that young either.
But hey, Mike, you're right. I got a viewer from West Virginia that said they screwed up when they removed the palace from the school, and you're saying the same thing. Now, what we do here in our system, we have what we call a corporate punishment, waiver, where, the parent can actually waive the corporate punishment policy and allow corporate punishment to be implemented. Now, my thing to, those parents is when you send your kid to school, you have to have some level of trust in the administrator. If you don't, you shouldn't send your school. You should. Now, if your kid is coming home bruised or whatever, but if you were going to the school.
This is Ron. Do you want to get on the air real quick?
We got a call,
hey,
Russell.
Hey, Baron, we got somebody calling from a 225 area code.
Okay,
I know
that's Baton Rouge. Is that Gwen?
Yes, it is, Brent.
Hey, Gwen, how you doing? This is Gwen from this is the lady who is responsible for Team Saddlebred having a grand entry at the Black Rodeo both times. And, Gwen, I'm glad that you called, and I'll let you introduce yourself. And I know you've been listening to the conversation since I sent you the link, so you can speak your piece.
I want to say I concur with you all are saying we do need more parent participation for as education, because if you send your children out there, and I know because I'm in the education system, if your children are coming to school and you're not there and not involved in their education, your children are going to be left behind. Some teachers see them with problems. If that's going to cause that teacher a little bit extra work, some of them are not going to take that extra time out. But if the parent is not there to force that issue, it won't happen. And they need to take time out and spend time in that education system with their children.
And, Gwen, you're down in one of the, well, probably the largest school system with the exception of Orleans Parish, East Baton Rouge.
Exactly. Yes.
So you guys deal with issues that, other parts of the state don't have to deal with, because you guys have inner cities within inner cities, and then now I believe you guys have the influx of the people from New Orleans that floated in, which at that point the state was not equipped to deal with the shifting of one classroom having 15 or 20 to now I think the max may be 30, 33. They may allow you 33 students, which is a lot of students in one class. Now,
exactly.
You take 33 students that's coming from the inner city, and you got a teacher who's coming from Harvard, that's not a good ingredient.
Exactly. It's not, because she's not equipped to teach to those students. You have to actually get down on their level and bring them up. You teach to the students that do not know, and you help advance the ones that do.
Hey, girls, this is a trail ride. This is a trail ride talk show, right?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's keep it simple. As simple as this. It's just like training a horse. If you got a guy from Harvard or a guy from the hood, if he's going to teach them basics, teach them the basics and repetition, and a child can learn. That no child left behind was to back us up so some people could catch up with us, because
exactly.
Getting left behind. It wasn't that we were being left behind. It was that we were leaving people behind because we had gotten to a place where we used to be and taking care of our own and not worrying about the rest, and some others got left behind. So it was to slow some things down so that everybody can get on the same accord. Now we start off, it was the dumbing down of America, what it was. We dumbed down America so everybody that was behind could catch up with us, and it wasn't like they were trying to catch the ones up that were behind to the ones that were ahead. It was the dumbing down of the others so that the rest of them wouldn't feel so left behind.
And see, Ron, that's exactly why this trail ride can serve a broader purpose, because the average person is going to go to a trail ride rather than go to their kid's classroom. But the knowledge and education that you just spit out, see, you read between the lines. You can go to your neighbor, somebody in the community, and you can tell them the same thing, that you better get involved in your child's life, because instead of somebody else getting left behind, you're going to be the one to get left behind.
Well, I'm going to tell you on a personal level of how that affected us by us as people not being involved in our school boards, meetings, and our activities. Ron and I both are graduates from North Forest Independent School District, which no longer exists, which was the last African-American school district in Texas.
Uh-huh.
and the biggest. And it was very productive. We, a lot of the kids come out of North Forest are prominent and productive people. You know, we all have good and bad, but it was a thing where the TEA, which was the governing body over the schools in Texas, was trying to assist in getting it back in order, but we allowed a few leaders within our community to be the voice for the community and for the parents instead of the parents and the alumni getting involved. So it's very important for alumni to go and get involved in their school district where they came from and protect those things that taught them and help them become who they are and to help the kids in their community coming up to become the people that they need to be and can be.
I totally agree, Gwen. I think you'd agree with the same concept.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Again, you know,
Hey, Byron, I gotta say something real quick. We're still having this conversation. We can end this at any time, but we are now off the air, and I just want to say, I didn't want to cut in on nobody, but I just want to say this is a good topic, and since this can be archived and shared again out there on the web, we can continue this conversation if you want to.
Hey man, that was a quick hour.
Hey, it's two hours. Yeah, it's for me, and that's why I say, you know, my thing is, you know, we're gonna talk about, you know, all types of topics, not just from the trail ride scene, but what the trail ride can do to go outside of just that element. Like I said, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. I think if we get one caller that we change, we have done our duty. We have done our job. So it's not about the number itself. It's more or less, you know, getting to the right places. And I think we can do that.
Yeah, and I concur. I'm going to tell you what I thought. Well, you know, I used to think that we only give away $500 scholarships. At one time, we were giving away $1,000 scholarships every year. And I thought, oh man, I wish I could do more. And I didn't realize that with a little small group like me, like my family has produced, we were affected, you know, helping kids like that. And I thought it was minor, but there are multi-million-dollar organizations out there that don't give as much as we did. We would give damn near all our money that we raised after we get through with our expenses and everything, and we give almost everything that we've raised away to a kid to help them go to school. And when somebody told me that, you know, these two kids that left them over my training and got scholarships to college in what I trained them in, you know, if you can just reach one, I know we've reached at least 30 plus the two that, you know, and 32 or 33 kids. So if these little small groups, if you get your 501c3 and do those things to help in your community and not be afraid to be a pillar in your community and use these things for a positive, use this trail ride group for positive, then you can affect the whole your community in a positive way.
Hey,
true.
Hey, Ron. Only thing I can tell you, Gwen is one of my aces. Like I said, she has helped do a lot of things. She volunteers a lot of her time. Ron, I think at some point we might have to find a midpoint. Maybe like Lake Charles, I believe, is 3 hours from me. I don't know how far it is from you guys. We may have to have some type of powwow session where we can all actually meet and greet. Maybe you know, have a dinner or something like that reserved. And I mean, we there's no reason why we can't take this ball and run a touchdown with it. It's no way that it can't happen.
It's time. I don't mean to take your word from you, Ron, but it's time. And Lake Charles is only a couple of hours, and we might can take this radio show to a broadcasted, a televised type live deal somewhere in the midpoint where we can meet somewhere and do that type of thing. Because some of the old hands that I know that want to do it and want to talk and want to speak would be more comfortable face to face. So I might have to go to their place and put them on speakerphone to talk to them to feed some of that knowledge and that history into what we're doing.
Well, like I said, I want to give credit to you for extending, and like I told Ron when we first started on the conversation, hey, look, this right here did exactly what I thought. It went into something totally outside of the element, but very appropriate. And that's why I say sometimes we don't have control over the end result. God does if he's in the midst of what we're doing. Man, I got to meet you. I got to meet Ron. I got to meet Russell. I got to meet Mike. Mike, when you come in town or something, let me know if I'm available. We're still going to – Russell, I mean, Ron, I'm going to leave it up to you as being the architect and the engineer. Let's do this. Let's make a New Year's resolution that we're going to try to do this in the name of, you know, Martin Luther King or whatever, to get together. Let's spread the knowledge, put it all in one place, and let it branch out abroad.
Well, I
have to comment
like
on
I said,
that. I just want to say, Mike, go ahead. I'll close it out. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll be in Lafayette this week. I know Sunday. My in-laws are going back. My wife, being from Jenner, Louisiana, we try to get down to see her grandparents. They're both over 90 years old, and Papa's still driving, so we try to get over there so they can see them and they get to see their great grandkids. So, Baron, I know when I come, I'll definitely give you a call when I'm headed in. I've got your number. Anthony, I had no idea you had family from the Caldwell area, so. You and I might be related at some courses. You go looking at it, and you laugh. But I'm related to Washington and Moores, and we own half of Burleson County. Some
of us. well, my family own the other half, so we got to be kin.
if we've done nothing else, we've made some friends. We've definitely made some comrades. We brought a smile to a little boy's face, and I can't wait to see him when I go, and to a grandmother and a mother who I didn't get a chance to say it earlier, Bob, and I don't want to just make the little boy a honorary. It takes his mom and his mother. You know, I want them to stand with him as well.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, I want them to have it too, just because, you know, if it had not been for that Grand Miss Maryland having the courage out to you like she did, we would have never known.
I agree with you 100%.
And you know, I got a comrade on the other end of this line when it comes to quarter horses, and that's Anthony, and he's seen me ride a couple of walking horses, but he's seen me ride my quarter horses too, and he'll tell me sometime he'll ride by me. He said, "Man, you might want to hold on to that." I said, "Oh man, she ain't going nowhere." He said, "Yeah, I see you got it, but you know, he's always in the training mode. You know, he's gonna tell you." And there's one thing about it, you know, anytime he's ever told me anything, and he know he tell me, I say, "Yes, sir." I don't know him any different other than that. But if he ever said anything to my children, they'll always tell him, "Yes, sir." And
yeah.
See, here's the thing. I'm not that old, but I'm very old school. And anyone that's in education will tell you, it's a whole lot different when you got a child that sits in that classroom and says, "Yes, ma'am, no." And if you tell him, "I'm going to call your daddy," it seems like the heavens have opened up and God said he might as well just pluck his child out right now, because he'd rather die and go to heaven than deal with that parent that's coming to that classroom. I'm that
That's
parent.
Right.
You know, I tell all my teachers, you're there to educate. If they get out of line, you handle it. But I promise you, if it gets too far and you don't call me, I got a problem with you, because you're here to teach. He's there to act right and do what he's supposed to do. And another thing, these parents got to want to go and find out what's wrong with what is the child doing. Don't run to the school to go jump on the teacher.
Right.
You
know, right.
Exactly.
Biggest issue I have, and again, I'm a teacher's child. And I tell my mama all the time, it takes a special person to do what you do. I said, because the first mama and daddy come down there to jump on me about their child cutting up in their class, they're going to have to call somebody, because I'm not going to take it. And you know, it takes a special somebody with a special heart to do it. And Anthony, I get with you later. Baron, I'll call you when I get to town. Ron, you know, I'll see you sometime between now.
Hey, I know, I know, and everybody's calling me now like, "Hey, man, I got to get off of this." We can continue going, but I think everybody else has something to do out there. So on that note, I'm going to just go down the line and call out people's names, and y'all just say goodbye real quick, and we're going to go. Baron?
What did you say again, Ron?
I'm just going to go down the line and call people names out and just let them go. And first, before I'm going to do it the politically correct way. Gwen, if you're still out there, go ahead and say what you got to say, and then we're going to go to the guys, and then we're just going to sign off.
Okay. I just want to say I appreciate the conversation, and it was very interesting, and I hope we get to do it again.
Every Monday night from 7:30 to 8:30, and I think Ron has got his other show from 8:30 to 9:30. This is not a one-time thing. Smoking Glass Hour, Ron gave me the opportunity to do it. We're going to promote Team Saddlebred, but we're also going to be talking about other issues. I think next week I got a real estate broker and investor that's going to talk about the importance of credit, how to finance your home, and all those types of things.
Cool.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Bruno, go ahead and you can
Anthony Bruno,
you can be the last one.
All right, we're gonna keep the history alive and keep our communities alive, and use this airwave and our hands and our abilities to reach out and touch everybody to help us uplift each other. And it was a pleasure working and talking with you all.
Amen. Amen.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow night for Mike and Carla. So on that note, I'm gonna tell everybody goodbye, good night. And we're going to sign off on the air. I'll talk to y'all after we get off the air. I want to say thank God for sharing this grace on this radio. Thank God for sharing this grace on this radio. Thank God for sharing this grace on this radio. And on that note, we're going to say good night. See you next week on Monday. And we're going to try to stay within our time frames, hopefully. But if we don't, that's fine. We'll go.
The Smoking Glass Hour. Appreciate it, Ron.
Send us the bill.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
All right.
Good night. Peace.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.